For some of us, it's been a long, hard year, and for some of us, it's been a very quick year. Amen? You know, I love children. Of course, you can know that because of the orphanage and the work that we've done around the world for children. But I love children, and I'll tell you why. They have not lost, if you will, the awe and the wonder, just the great adventure of living life every day. I mean, you can like I was watching with Willa, and I'm saying I was watching. It's called Shark Something. I don't know what it is. Shark Baby, you know, do 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 do. Oh, now you do 4 hours of that, and when you see a child, they don't get bored. And she just laid down. We have a little bed. She laid down in that bed, you know, and she was glued but moving. See, they don't get tired of living. They don't get bored, okay? Are you tired? Are you bored with life? I hope that you're not. I hope you haven't lost the awe and wonder. I was thinking yesterday or whenever day it was, you know, yesterday was like what? The tropical. It was like 80-something. Hello? But I was watching, and I don't know if it was yesterday or the day before, a sunset. And you know, many of you know that sunrise, sunset, that's my favorite, one of my favorite things. I'll pull over, I'll move, I'll get as high as I can on the freeway and just pull over and watch the Texas sunset. There's nothing like it in all the world as far as I'm concerned, okay? But it's amazing. You know, the psalmist has said this in Psalm 19:4 about God. He says, you know, God, you have set the tabernacle for the sun, which is like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber and rejoices like a strong man to run its race. Its rising, or the sun's rising, is from one end of heaven, and its circuit is to the other end, and there is nothing hidden from the sun's heat. You know, I'm a strange individual. You know that. I'm a weird individual, but you know, when I'm driving, like, and I see, like, in the evening, and you can't hardly drive home because the sun is right there in your eyes because it's setting, I'm always in awe of that. I mean, here we are, loved one. We are on a tiny, tiny speck of dust called Earth in the universe. Amen? 93 million miles as I was driving, I was saying to myself, there's the sun. It takes 8 minutes and 20 seconds for its heat just to hit me. Do you know what I'm saying? And there I am, and it's just a gigantic ball. It's the largest object it's the only star in our solar system. Do you know that? It's the largest object in the entire solar system, if you will. It's in the very center, just hanging in space. You know, Job said the earth hangs on nothing. How did he know that? It hangs on nothing. And I'm just in awe of that. And then here we are, you know, without the sun's energy and all of that, planet Earth, we wouldn't even be existing, would we? Do you ever just get in, have you lost the awe of just what God has created? You know, and this morning, you know, I pray you haven't lost the awe and the wonder of the true Christmas, not the world's Christmas, but the true Christmas, especially the night that Jesus was born. I want you to think about something. I mean, you know, when we read the story and we've heard Christmas sermon, oh, year after year after year, we've read the Christmas story in the Gospels over and over and over. But you know, for Joseph and Mary, the shepherds and the wise men, they didn't have the Gospel of Luke. They didn't have the Gospel of Matthew, did they? No, they lived those chapters, didn't they? And do you think that they were in awe and in wonder of all that God was doing? I mean, unbelievable. You know, when you think of Joseph, I mean, just be Joseph for a minute. How would you like, you know, an angel of the Lord to appear in your dream? Oh, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife. I know she's pregnant. Don't worry. You know, and so forth. But it was the Holy Spirit that overshadowed her. Go ahead and take her as your wife and so forth. Can you imagine the faith that took? No, we just take it for granted because we've read it and read it. Oh, listen, that man was a man of incredible faith. He trusted God when it didn't make sense. Does that make sense? That's what he did. And take Mary, I'm telling you, a little teenage girl. And there she is. And let me just read what happened in Luke's gospel to her. The angel appeared to Mary, and listen to what he said to her. He said, "Oh, Mary," he said, "don't be afraid, Mary. You found favor with God, and behold, you will conceive in your womb. You're going to bring forth a womb. You will bring forth a son. You're going to call his name Jesus. He will be great. He will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever and ever and ever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Now listen, we read that, we know that, it's common to us, but I'll tell you something, if you were Mary, do you understand? Oh my goodness. And Mary said, well, listen, how can this be? I've never known a man. I've never been with a man. And the angel goes on to tell her. Listen, Mary was a young teenage girl. She could have been as young as 14. And boy, I tell you, she trusted the promises of God. And after the angel finished, what did Mary say? I think it was Luke 1:38. Let it be unto me according to thy word. Amen. And it was. What a wonderful adventure. Listen, whom God chooses, God uses. Amen? And he does so for the adventure, the awe and the wonder of following Jesus. In 4 days, we're going to celebrate the birth that changed the world. Amen? You know, it's wonderful, and it's one thing to know that Jesus Christ the Lord, that he came. But it's another, a whole different matter to know why he came. Amen? What was the purpose of his coming? So that night in Bethlehem was the greatest, most significant night in the history of mankind, because on that night, that dark night, the light of the world was born. Amen? John 1:14, what does it say? And the Word became flesh. Jesus is the Word. Amen? And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, or pitched his tent, or tabernacled, if you will. And we beheld his glory, and the glory is only of the begotten Father, full of grace and truth. So Jesus, the Word was with God. Remember in John 1:1? Yes, Jesus is God. Jesus has always been. Christ has always been. Amen? And then it says, the Word became flesh, a new form for him. It, not a new existence, because Jesus, again, he has always been. But a new existence, the incarnation, when God became man, fully God and fully man. Does that blow you away? Man, listen, but before I get into our sermon, I got to do something. I don't want to shock you, but I want you to listen to me now. So before I continue, I need to do something. I have to remove a very common error in our main lobby, all right? It's not intentional. It's not anyone's fault, okay? As a matter of fact, this error is found everywhere. If you go through the neighborhoods for Christmas, on the front of homes, or in the front of churches, or even maybe on the Christmas cards that you send out or receive, you'll find this error. So if you go to the main lobby after service, most of you will, because you take a picture there at the Christmas tree, okay? And you'll go there and you're going to see the manger scene. But the manger scene is where the problem is, because you see, that's where you're going to find the error. You're going to find the shepherds and the wise men together with Joseph and with Mary, baby Jesus, and lambs and animals and angels and all of that. And the problem with that is that so many people today, because of that, they see that the wise men and the shepherds as one event. It's not one event, amen? It's two separate events, and you have to be careful. Listen, the lobby can be a dangerous place. Did you see that? No. Did you see that pagan tree back there? You know, boy, I mean, I'm starting to worry about this church. I mean, next year, I mean, if we see somebody in a red suit. So these occur at two different times in Matthew and Luke's gospel, and I want us to start, if you will, in the gospel of Luke chapter 2 this morning, and we're going to talk about this. We're going to look at both events, if you will. Luke chapter 2, verse 1. You know the Christmas story. It's loved by all generations. And it came to pass in those days that a decree, or a governmental order, if you will, went out from Caesar Augustus, that all the world, all the Roman Empire, should be registered. This census took place while Quirinius was governing Syria, so all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. So in those days, in the days of Caesar Augustus, you know, Octavian was his real name. He was only 19 years old when he started reigning. And they gave, the Senate voted and gave him a name, Augustus, Caesar Augustus. In other words, you are the exalted one. You are a god or whatnot. So Rome called Caesar Augustus the savior of the world. That's pretty sad, isn't it? Yeah, because he wasn't the savior of the world, but right under his nose, guess what was who was going to be born? The true savior of the world. So his greatest single act, even though he did not realize it, was to call for a census, to where everybody's going to be taxed, and everyone had to return to their native city where they came from, their ancestral home, which meant that Mary and Joseph, they had to go to Bethlehem, okay? Now, here's the deal. Here she is. She's 9 months pregnant. Wouldn't you like to be going about, 85 miles or whatever, or 5 miles? I don't know. But it says that Joseph also went up to Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea to the city of David, which is called what? Bethlehem. Because he, Joseph, was of the house and lineage of David to be registered with Mary. But see, Mary also was of the lineage of David, right? Okay, to his betrothed wife, meaning that's they're married, but they're not married. They haven't consummated their marriage yet. And it says, who was with child. The incredible wonder of Christmas, how God works everything out. God foretold all about our Lord, didn't he? He told us that his son, in the Word of God, he told us that his son would, number one, be born a Jew, Genesis chapter 12, I think it is, verses 1 through 3, that he would come from the tribe of Judah, Genesis 49:10, and that he would come from the family of David, 2 Samuel chapter 7, verses 12 and following. But more than that, he told us something else, that his son, in Isaiah 7:14, would he be born of a virgin? Let me read the scripture. Absolutely. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. This is that sign that was given to Ahaz, okay? Now it becomes a prediction. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and will call his name what? Emmanuel, God with us. I know that many people are lonely at Christmas time. They feel isolated or alone. Let me tell you what. Emmanuel, God is with you right now. Amen. He'll always be with you. And not only is he going to be born of a virgin, he had to be born where? What city? In Bethlehem. Micah chapter 5, verse 2. Let me read it to you. But you, Bethlehem, there it is, that though you are little among the thousands of Judah, little tiny place, out of all the cities on the earth, yet out of you shall come forth two. Me, God says, come forth to do God's will, okay? The one to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth are from old, from everlasting. So the pre-existent Christ, he is the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the ending, amen? So the exact day of the birth of Christ, is that important? The exact day of his birth? We don't know that, come on. No, but where he was born, that's very important, amen? Because the Word of God proves it. So when Micah, now listen, when Micah penned this, the southern, back all way, but 700 years before Christ, before his birth, the southern kingdom of Judah, they were being carried off, and that's the line of David, by the way, they were being carried off into Babylonian captivity. Now, 700 years have passed, and then here comes the birth of Christ. Do you think there's anyone from the line of David in Bethlehem? No. But you know what? There has to be. So that's God's going to get two people, Mary and Joseph. They're going to bring them to Bethlehem. Why? Because the living bread that came down from heaven had to be born in the house of bread, and which is Bethlehem. Amen? Now, what does that tell you then and today? It tells me that God rules. Amen? God rules. History has always been his story. God is in control right this minute. There's nothing for us to worry about. We need to read the good news instead of listening so much to the bad news. You know what I'm saying? Yes. And so, you know, the Bible tells us that nothing happens by chance. Proverbs 21, 1. The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord, and like the rivers of water, he turns it wherever he wishes. Whose heart did Jesus or the Lord God turn? Caesar. He used Caesar. Caesar, that's a great idea. I want you to do the tax thing. I want you to get everybody back to their ancestral home. Thank you for doing that. You see what I'm getting at? See, the Lord was doing all of it. Listen, Caesar didn't even know it, but he was going to bring Joseph and Mary to their ancestral home, to the exact place that God prophesied that he, the Savior of the world, was going to be born in Bethlehem. It says in Isaiah 55, 11, God says, "So shall my word that goes forth from my mouth, it'll not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing of which I sent it." That's good news. God's word never fails. Amen? That's something that we need to continue to trust in 2026, isn't it? And so it was in verse 6, look what happened. While they were there, while they were in Bethlehem, the days were completed for her to be delivered, and she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling cloths or pieces of cloth, and laid him in a feed trough. That's what a manger is. A manger is a stone feed trough for animals, all right? Laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Well, we knew that. There's no room hardly for Jesus anywhere in the world today. Amen? No, but loved one, listen. There's only one place that there was room for Jesus when he was born, and we know that Jesus was born to die, and that was the cross that he was going to bear for you and me. You know, in 10 days, we're going to welcome a brand new year, 2026. You know, I heard that old song, "In the Year 2025." Remember that song? Is that the name of it? You know, do y'all remember that? In the year 25. Is it? Oh, it's 2525. Never mind. Anyway, I heard it. It reminded me of, never mind. All right. So 10 days, another year. Boy, let's make room for Jesus. Amen. We need to do that. Now, Christmas is a time of wonder. For children. I love that. I mean, you know, and I encourage parents, listen to me, before they open their presents on Christmas or Christmas Eve, however you do it, and I'm not trying to tell you what to do, but I'll tell you what I did. You know, before we ever opened anything, we would first, as mom and dad, we would open up our Bible, and we would tell Thomas, we'd go through and read Luke, we'd do the Christmas story. Then we would pray. We would thank the Lord. Amen? And then we say, okay, let's open the presents because Jesus is a true present. He's a true gift. Amen? So I encourage you to do that, that you would tell them why we celebrate Christmas, you know, and tell them about the night that Jesus was born and tell them about the angels rejoicing, how the angels spoke to the shepherds in the field. That's the next verse, verse 9. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them. And so the shepherds are out in the field by night. It says, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid, or literally they were terrified. And the angel of the Lord said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings, or literally, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be to how many people? All people, praise God. And what's that good news? For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. I thank God that we have the Savior. Amen? You know, John the Apostle of Love, he said this in 1 John 4:14. He says, oh, that the Father has sent the Son as Savior of the world. Paul the Apostle said in 1 Timothy 1:15, so, oh, this is a faithful saying worthy of all acceptance, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. Jesus came into a world that was dominated by darkness and sin and the devil, amen, as a savior of the world. What did Jesus tell us in Luke 19:10? He said, listen, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. Save us from what? Why was Jesus born? Remember what the angel, Joseph in a dream, an angel appeared to Joseph in a dream. And he said, oh, Joseph, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife, and so forth. And he goes on and he says in Matthew 1:21, for Mary will bring forth a son, and Joseph, you will call him Jesus, his name Jesus. And here's the reason. He will save his people from their sins. Aren't you glad our sins are forgiven? That they're far as the east is from the west. I praise God for that. And it says in verse 12, the angel keeps talking. He says, and this will be a sign to you. You will find a babe, a baby, wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a feed trough. And suddenly there was an angel of multitude of heavenly hosts, an entire army of God's angels descend, evidently, and they're praising God, and they're saying, glory to God in the highest, peace on earth, goodwill toward men. And so it was, when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said one to another, let us go now to Bethlehem and see the thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. And they, the shepherds, not the wise men, amen, the shepherds, they came with haste and found, literally that word in Greek would be, they were searching and searching, and they found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child, that all those who had heard it, what happened? They were in awe. It was the wonder of that evening, that night. They marveled at those things which were told by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things, pondered them, and then the shepherds returned, glorifying, praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. Now, let's go from the shepherds to the Magi, or the wise men, and let's look at Matthew's gospel, verse 1. It says, now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of King Herod the king, behold, wise men came from the east to Jerusalem. Now, these wise men, unbelievable. They were pagans, actually. And they were Gentiles. They were probably from the Persia or Arabia, Babylonian, Iraq, all in that area. And they were experts in astrology and math and science and so forth. And they were also extremely smart. In other words, very, very well educated. Now, we know that these three kings, these wise men that came, they traveled there through, as they were traveling, they traveled on camels, and you know the story. Man, as they were traveling on those camels, you could hear them singing, we three kings of, star of wonder, no, okay, I'm sorry. But we know their names, right? Caspar, Melchior, is that right? Melchior? And the other one is Balthazar. We know their names. Isn't that amazing? Man, and not only that, they're about to visit the baby Jesus, right? Everything I told you, is it true or false? It's all false. Amen? They weren't riding camels. We don't know what they were riding. But do you see them riding camels on those postcards? Why are there three kings? There could have been 30. Do you understand? You see how everything gets confused, but it's very romantic. It's very, oh, look at that. And they got crowns on, and then you see the star that's above them, and they're following the star and all of that. We don't know their names. The Bible doesn't give. That's all people, I don't even want to tell you who made all that up. Okay? Well, Bill, you're depressing. You're trying to ruin my Christmas. next thing you're going to tell me that Jesus wasn't born on December 25th, aren't you? No, I would never do that to you. No, let's continue. Matthew 2:2, and look what they were saying, not singing. They were saying, and in the Greek now, they were continually saying, questioning everyone they ran into, okay? So they were saying, well, where is he who has been born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star, not a star. We've seen his star in the east, and we have come to worship him. That is a whole nother sermon about the star, loved one. But do you know that that prophecy about the star, meaning that the wise man had to have found it some way, because of that prophecy about the star is found in the book of Numbers, chapter 24, verse 17, loved one. And that's it was prophesied, it's Balaam's prophecy, 1,500 years before this event. Think about that. The Bible tells us, it goes, the prophecy is this, it goes, a star shall come out of Jacob, meaning the nation of Israel. A scepter shall rise out of Israel. And that is who? He's the King of the Jews. It's Jesus. And they say, we have seen his star. If you study out the Greek there, it implies actually no one saw the star except the wise men, okay? Now, I don't know, but here's the problem. They said, where is he? Where is he? And they did not get a response from anyone. In other words, Jerusalem was a city that was dead faith, if you will. They weren't expecting anyone. And it says, and when Herod, the king, when he heard about this, he was troubled, or literally he was terrified, and all of Jerusalem with him. The wise men, they weren't terrified, but Herod and all of Jerusalem were. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, Herod literally demanded of them where the Christ was to be born. And so they said to him, they didn't have to go look it up. They didn't have to Google it. Do you understand? They didn't have to use AI or whatever they do today. They immediately knew the answer. He said, the Messiah, he's going to be born in Bethlehem of Judea. For thus it is written by the prophet, but you, Bethlehem, the land of Judah, and not the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. And then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, he determined from them what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, to the wise men, listen, go and search carefully, or literally precisely, for the young child, not a babe, the young child. And when you have found him, bring back word to me. And look at the reason, that I may come and worship, you know, and bow down and humble myself before him also. That was a lie, wasn't it? Yes. Do you think Herod regretted that lie? He's still paying for it. Did you know that? Man, now listen to me. It's amazing to me. I mean, that here, Watauga is how far away? 5 miles. They were 5 miles away from Bethlehem, just 5 miles. And yet, I mean, there was no awe. They weren't no wonder at all. 5 miles away from God in the flesh, the ruler of Israel, the King of Heaven. Amen. And I think, what's wrong here? They even had the Old Testament scriptures. They said, well, it was written by the prophet. What prophet was that? That would be Micah. Micah 5:2, I've already quoted that. And so they knew the promise of God. They knew where Messiah was going to be born. And my question is this, why didn't those who knew it, and even Herod, why didn't they go with the wise men to search for Jesus? In other words, to go to Bethlehem. Why was it that pagans were hungrier for God than God's own people? Let that never be said about us. Amen? Amen? We don't want to be hungry for the world. The world is passing away. We want to be hungry for the Lord. And when they heard the king, meaning the wise men, they departed. And behold, look what happened now. The star which they had seen in the east, number one, it went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was, and when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. In other words, they were blown away. The Amplified Bible says ecstatic joy. Now listen, where did they get, why were they so over the top in awe and wonder and joy? They found the king. They found the child Jesus, amen? Oh, listen, just that one person, Jesus is the reason that we celebrate Christmas, amen? Boy, I tell you, they found him, the king, they found the savior of the world, and they were in awe. You want to be in awe of the wonder of Christmas? I want you to look at that star again. I'm going to give you three things it did. Number one, the star moved. It went before them. Has that ever happened to you? Only time I've ever seen stars was when I played football and got hit. You understand? No, I mean, listen, they went before them, and then what did the star do? The star stopped, then the star stood right where Jesus was. Now that is awe. That's wonder, loved one. And when they had come into the stable, into the inn, into the manger, when they came into the house, they saw the babe. No, they saw the young child. So Jesus is close. He could be even 2 years of age by now. So, and he was with Mary, his mother. So the star led the magi, the wise men, to a house, not to a manger. Both, if you look it up in the Greek, both are different words in the Greek, okay? It's interesting. Now listen, the magi, they were the top of the ladder. They were the most educated people. They were smart, man, and they were explorers and all the things that they did. And then compared to the shepherds, shepherds were the bottom of the ladder. They were social outcasts in Jerusalem, in Israel, that nobody wanted to, they were considered unclean. Listen, you know what they did? They took care of the temple lambs that were going to be sacrificed, okay? That's what these shepherds did. But whenever you see the contrast between a magi and a shepherd, it tells you something, that God wants you to know that Jesus came for all people, no matter who they are, no matter what race they are, no matter how rich or poor, Jesus came for everyone. He died for everyone, amen? Now, and look what they did in verse 11 again. When they came into his house and they saw Jesus, they fell down and they worshiped him. And when they had opened their treasures, plural, they presented gifts, plural, to him, costly gifts. They gave gold, that represents his deity. They gave frankincense, that's his priesthood, if you will. And then myrrh. Myrrh, remember, to get myrrh from the tree, you have to cut the tree. And then it oozes out the resin. And then the resin hardens. And then you had to crush the resin to get its fragrance. Myrrh was used in death. It was used for the embalming, okay? So what does this represent? It represents the sacrificial death of Jesus Christ. Jesus came. He was born to die for us. Amen. God came to die for you and me. And then it says, then being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed, the wise men departed from their own country another way. Now, they were divinely warned, and if you'll read on later, you'll see the reason. Remember when Herod found out that he was deceived? He wasn't deceived. God divinely warned him. Amen? What did he do? He sent and he executed all male children in Bethlehem and all the surrounding districts 2 years of age and under. They were the first martyrs for Jesus. Think about that. Oh, what a horrible time. That's Herod, you know, like Caesar said about Herod, it's safer to be Herod's pig than his own son because he killed his family. He was a murderous individual. And so here, when I think about the awe of Christmas, the wonder of Christmas, you're talking about faith. I mean, the Magi, did they have faith? I mean, I look at that. It blows me away. They believed in the king that was being born. They believed in Christ, and yet they had never even seen him. Do you understand? And they had so little to even go on. And yet, you know, there they are, and when they arrived, did they see a palace? Did they see a crown? No, they saw a young child. All they had was the message of the star, the prophecy of the star. And they followed it. They were experts in astronomy, and they followed that, the message of the star. Loved one, we have 66 books of the Bible. We have more evidence than they have. Amen? Oh, we need to be a people of great, great faith, loved one. No, and look what they did. They opened their treasures. They gave gifts to Jesus, and they worshiped him. So the Magi, not only did they give all of their time, that was at least a 1,000-mile journey from where they came from. And they gave their time, but they also gave their treasures. I want to ask you a question now. And we ask it every Christmas. But you know, the thing is, what will you give Jesus for Christmas this year? I mean, everything that we have belongs to him. Amen? Everything. He owns it all, doesn't he? Yeah. So what kind of gift could we ever give to someone who was born to take our place on the cross? To taste our death? To pay the sin debt of the world, to save us from darkness and from hell, and prepare a home in heaven for us. What can we even give to that? I mean, Jesus gave us eternal life when we believed in him. Amen? John 10:10, Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. What can we really give him? You know, I'll tell you one thing you can do, all of us in 2026, or beginning right now. Romans 12:1, when Paul says, I beseech you therefore to present your bodies as a living sacrifice unto the Lord. Amen? Amen. A living sacrifice. Lord, here I am. See, Jesus, God doesn't want you to die for Jesus. He wants you to live for him. Amen? Amen. And to live for him. I'll tell you something else you can do, truly do, if you want to have awe and wonder. You know, you can, what did Jesus tell us? What's that scripture? John 10:27, I believe it is. He says, I know my sheep. The sheep know my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Amen? Follow the Lord. Follow the Lord. Pray and follow the Lord with all your hearts, loved one. That's what a gift that would be. See, the world has made Christmas about giving and receiving and presents. There's nothing. I'm not Scrooge. Okay. I mean, that's fine by me. But can you imagine celebrating Christmas? Well, yes, you can. But anyway, and there's a gift underneath that tree. It's huge, just beautifully wrapped and all that kind of stuff. And it's got has your name on it, and it says from Jesus. But you're not going to open it. That would drive me crazy. No, listen. Jesus is the gift of all gifts. Amen. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 9:15, thanks be unto God for his indescribable gift. That word, remember, indescribable, means human words are not adequate. We don't have the proper ability to even describe the worth of the gift of Christ, amen, to this world. Oh, listen, no, but a gift of God. Did you know that the Bible says that the Holy Spirit is a gift, the gift from God? Acts 2:38, let me read it. Repent, Peter said, every one of you, and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. It's free. He seals our hearts. He's with us forever, amen? Oh, the gift of the Holy Spirit. How about salvation? Is salvation a gift? Yes, Ephesians 2:8, for by grace you've been saved through faith, not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works. You can't earn it. You can't be good enough, lest anyone should boast. How about this one? Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. Death, eternal separation. That's not physical death there. It's eternal separation from God when you die, if you don't know him, forever and ever and ever. But the gift of God, the gift of God, all you have to do is receive it. The gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. Oh, the incredible gift of God. And gifts are supposed to be opened. I pray you've opened that gift. His name is Jesus. Amen. And he lives in your heart. Jesus gave it all. If he gave it all, what are we going to give him? Well, I'm going to tell you something. They fell down, the wise men, they fell down and they did something. They worshiped Jesus. I think that's a great way to celebrate Christmas, don't you? That's a great way to celebrate every day of our lives, isn't it? Listen to me now. The quality of our worship, did you know, is a reflection of our relationship with the Lord. It's a reflection. You know, Jesus told us in Matthew 15:8, he says, these people, meaning the Jews, he said, oh, they draw near to me with their mouth and they honor me with their lips, but their heart is so far from me. It's easy to talk about Jesus at Christmas, isn't it? It's easy. But we do so with our lips. Jesus, if Jesus could speak to us, maybe he would say, you know what? At Christmas, boy, my church talks about me. They send Christmas cards out about me. They even sing Christmas carols all about me. But so many hearts, they're so far from me and they don't really worship me. You want to give the Lord a gift every day of your life, but especially for Christmas, then make sure that your words match your heart. Amen? That's Jesus deserves far more than just lip service, doesn't he? Absolutely. So the one that there is no room for, Jesus has made room for everyone. He wants all people to be saved, doesn't he? Boy, I'm so thankful that he saved me. Do you know there's not a day that I don't thank God for that? Thank you for saving me. Thank you. So many times before I was saved, I rejected him. I laughed. I said, I don't need anyone. What a fool I was. How blind I was. Oh, I thank God on that day, all those years ago, 50 years ago on that beach in Florida, the Lord saved me. I thank God. I thank God for that. You know, there was a man, he was a ruler of the Pharisees, and he came by night to Jesus. His name was Nicodemus, and on that night when he came to Jesus, loved one, listen to me, Jesus spoke to him and gave him the absolute greatest Christmas scripture, the greatest Christmas promise, and the greatest revelation ever given to a man. John 3:16. For God, Jesus said to Nicodemus, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. What a word is that, amen? And you know, if you read the next verse, verse 17, you would find what Jesus, when he came into the world, what Jesus did not come into the world for. Let me read it to you. It says, for God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already because he does not believe in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Oh, man, listen. Why? Because men love darkness rather than the light. But the light has come, amen? We didn't know, loved one, did we? We didn't know we loved darkness. We didn't know that we were under the influence of the wicked one before we were born again. We didn't know that at all. If someone said to us, you know, you just love darkness and bad, you say, what are you talking about? No. Listen, you know, the awe and wonder of Christmas is this, that Jesus really was born. He is really the Savior of the world. And boy, when we think about the light has come, I just praise God because he wants all the world to be saved. And he uses you and me to do it. We all know the truth that Jesus, our Lord, is man's only way back to God. Lost man. There's no other way. Matter of fact, there's only one name that can save a person. No, only one. His name is Jesus, Acts 4:12. Amen? There's only one way to be saved and get to God the Father and get to heaven. Only one way. And Jesus is that way. He said it. John 14:6, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. Amen? There's no other way. And we found that way. And I thank God for it. If Jesus is not your Lord, and I'm sure we're all probably saved in this early service, but if Jesus is not your Lord, do you know that you don't have to come to this altar? You can, but you don't have to. You can ask Christ Jesus right now. You don't even have to close your eyes. You don't have to bow your head. You can just say in your heart right now, you can confess with your mouth, Jesus, be my Lord. I believe that God raised you from the dead. And God the Father made a promise. If you would confess Christ with your mouth and believe in your heart, God says, I will save you. I'll make you a new creation. And you will receive into your heart the greatest gift mankind has ever received, and that is Jesus Christ the Lord. Colossians 1:27, Christ in me, the hope of glory. Amen? Amen. Father, we just praise you. We thank you in Jesus' name for this Christmas service, Lord. And I just pray over them. That, Lord, the ones that are traveling, going out of town, for perfect safety there and back, perfect time with their family. Let there be no arguing or any of those kinds of things. Oh, Father, let it be a time of celebration, a time of loving one another. Keep them safe, Lord. And we give you praise. We give you thanks that Jesus came, that he was born, that he has saved us, and one day he is coming again to receive us unto himself. We give you praise for that in Jesus' name. And the church says, amen. Amen. Let's stand to our feet this morning.